Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and thank you for coming out this morning to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am going to officiate the service this morning, but John is going to read the scripture and then bring us a message, and very excited about it. I get to listen and be ministered to today, and I know you're very excited to get to hear John preach and June's little boy. And you can read about him here. He's preached with us for us many, many times. He was here in Pittsburgh and now is in Atlanta, Georgia, and you can read about that. And he's here to be with his mother, who's going to be operated on Monday morning on her right knee, and we'll be praying about that in just a little while. I'm not going to make all announcements in the bulletin, so I've got some others to make. I'm at Macy's Shop for a Cause. You can buy those tickets from B.J. Morrison. And that takes place August the 25th. And you can read about office hours and all those other things. Thanks for the weeding. I guess Carol did that. I hope you had some help. Had Bill and Shawna, she still needs some help, so when you get ready to go back out, have Artis send an email out. To let you know, I'll be leaving on vacation after church today. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. I'll be back in time for the session meeting on August the 28th. If you need something, you can call Shawnee as the clerk of session, or you can call Kathy Segi as the moderator of the board of the deacons. Deacons are going, we've talked about it, I went with their last meeting, they're going to start doing hospital visitations when I'm out of town or ill, or study leave, whatever it might be. They're going to start helping with that, which I'm most appreciative of. So you can call one of them or call the church, but you know our church hours are limited, so please call one of them. Junior church will start back on September the 16th. It'll be from those who are above nursery, and it will go through sixth grade this year. So they go, the teachers are going to extend that. So that's from nursery through sixth grade, and nursery will also be open during that time. Remember, we have the little buzzers if your child becomes sick or unruly, or the teacher becomes ill, anything that might happen, you'll have your child will have a number, you'll be buzzed, and you can go straight over to the nursery and see what is going on. So we hope that you'll take advantage of that. And also, there are three teachers for that, and if a parent or someone else would like to become involved in teaching, those teachers would like to have another teacher or two, so they can have a little, they've been doing this for years now, they would like to have some extra help. You can go in there and watch them, they'll show you what they do, and it would be nice to have another teacher or two to help with them. Cliff Huff is going to be teaching communicants class, as he has done for many years, does an excellent job. It's been during Sunday school time before, but this year he's going to teach it during church time, and he's going to do it every other Sunday to help fit the schedule. We know that we have two students that are eligible, and this is for students going into the seventh grade so they can join the church, or any other student that might be above the seventh grade that's coming into our church that has not gone through a communicants class, so they can join the church. So that's something different this year. It'll be during church, and I really appreciate Cliff volunteering for that, and he tapes the sermons, so he gets to listen to it anyway, so he's not going to be missing the whole church service like someone else would. So we're very excited about that. Bill Mueller is going to be teaching, starting September the 16th, a class on the life of Paul for adults, and any teenagers that would like to come for 3 weeks, starting September the 16th, here in the back of the church, and then we'll see where the adult Sunday school class will go from that, but he's going to start that off. B.J. Morrison will be teaching Sunday school, if there are any children that are going to come at that time, at 9:30. But she will not be here on the 16th, so that program will start the next Sunday, because she's retired and she's going on a trip, so I don't believe there will be anybody here for that. Now, rally day that we've traditionally had is going to be different this year. We're going to not have the breakfast because the deacons are having their pig roast that day. It'll just be kind of overwhelming, so we're going to let the deacons do their thing, and then we're going to bring the teachers in, and Junior Church and Cliff and BJ and whoever else might be, and Bill and whoever else might be teaching adult Sunday school, and introduce them during the worship service. So we hope this is going to make our Christian education program a little bit better. And then when it gets started, we appreciate any input that you might have into it. So God bless us on that, and we hope everything will work out well. We had a nice meeting the other night, and this is what we came up with, and we'll see how it affects the life of our church. Any other announcements that need to be made? August 26th, the women of the church will meet after church. That's the last Sunday of the month. Investment committee meeting, I don't know if that's been set up yet, Shawnee. That's not been set up. They're trying to set that up. Yeah, they're trying to set that up. Hopefully 14th, 15th, or 16th, if that'll work out. It's a couple of days it couldn't work out. So that's been a hard meeting to set up for whatever reason. So it's still in the works. Deacons, today after church, organize pig roast. Linda? Yeah, please talk to Linda. Luncheons are starting back up, and that's a good moneymaker for our church. Anything that you can help, make pies, come down and serve, clean up, wash dishes, whatever you can do, anything. The calling list, speak with Linda about it after church, or you can call her. Any other announcements? Okay. We're asking in the office if you used a copier. If you could pay 25 cents per copy. A month or two ago, we were over by 2,000 copies, and we don't know how that happened. So that's a lot of personal use. So 25 cents a copy if you're able to do that. Nursery worker is trained by the school, so it's not just a teenager that's in there, someone that's going through a daycare program. They have to pass certificate certification, so you can feel secure that your child is in with someone that is top quality, even though young. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, number 588, we have come into this house. worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your unfailing love. We worship you for forgiving us of our sins. Forgive us for failing to love you. Forgive us for not being ready for you to come again. Show us how to have a soul that thirsts for the Word of God. Help us to be merciful and peaceful. May we have a deep hunger for righteousness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. Let us join together as part of the church worldwide here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Ascended into heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
responsive reading is the Beatitudes on 648 in the back of your hymnals. 648, the Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Like open up this portion of the service of the pastoral prayer, you can peruse your bulletin. Of course, keep your Valley newsletters, whether on your computer or hard copy, and continue to pray for these persons. And on your bulletin, you can see Allie Mellinger. Continue to pray for her as she learns to deal with her diabetes. And Dorothy Gill is back in the hospital with congestive heart failure, a lot of fluid buildup. And Anna, continue to pray for her as she heals from her surgery. And Suzanne Connors, healing from her knee surgery and having a lot of pain with that. Nancy Baker, for the heart attack that she had, she's having difficulty getting her strength back up, and still she's on back at work but on light duty. And Marcia, she continues to heal with her knee. And Art and Isabel, he's still undergoing his treatments, and her foot is slowly healing from her diabetes. And then Ron and Verna, as they continue to heal. Also, June Reese, as we mentioned, going in for knee replacement at McGee Hospital tomorrow. And John will be here with her. June White, I'm sorry. Wrote down the wrong thing, so I wrote the wrong thing. June White, sorry about that. Knee replacement, and John will be here with her to Wednesday. So let's be in prayer for her. Let's also be in prayer for our Christian education program as it kicks back off in September. And also that God will guide us in all ways and all programs and everything that we seek to do here at Glenshaw Valley. And safety for people traveling on their vacations. Any other prayer requests at this time? Bev? Okay. Paul, heart catheterization on the 27th. Open heart surgery on the 28th. Which hospital is that going to be? Passover. And their daughter Deborah up in Canada, calcium in the breast, and they think it's leading to lupus or possibly... showing lupus. So let's be in prayer for her and all of her family. Anyone else?
I have two requests.
Okay, for Aunt Margie with breast cancer and lung cancer, and the next door neighbor Shirley with lung and colon cancer. Anyone else? John? And for their daughter, Christine, whose husband passed away 2 weeks ago in Alabama. Needs some guidance and comfort for the family, especially for Christine. Okay. For her girlfriend, Jeannie, for her father, for some health issues they don't see turning around. Okay, Katrina's going in to have her baby daughter. She'll be at what hospital?
She'll be at West Penn.
West Penn. And your mom's at what hospital?
Mom's back home now.
Oh, home now, okay.
Yes, yeah, she's for 10 days, but now she's home.
Okay. So, Keith is St. Barnabas, okay. For Hilda, one of our members, we pray for her, she's at home now. And Katrina, her daughter, you know, she comes to church here, having her baby. What day did you say she's having her baby?
It's Friday.
Friday. Okay. So all you deacons be writing this stuff down now. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Just for safe travels and a well-deserved vacation
for me. Oh, thank you. Safe travels and well-deserved vacation for me. I tell them, I don't know if I deserve it, but I need it. Come back very energized. That's what I'm looking for. I'm going to write that down, too. Okay, for Robert, continue prayers for Diane to sell a home, and for Sister Mary Ann, sister-in-law, Mary Ann lost job. Good. New surgery for Ruthie, and we're thankful for that. She was going through a waiting period, and thankfully that's over. No surgery. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer as we do in the Presbyterian tradition, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer on this beautiful morning here in Glenshaw, here in the Pittsburgh area. And we thank you for all the good things that you've given us and done for us in our lives. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation for those who will turn to you and accept it and receive that and receive their baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would encourage us to read our Bibles and to get into Bible study and to take time for prayer, to draw closer to you and to find out your will for our lives. Not our will, but your will. Help us to draw closer together as a congregation of Jesus Christ here at Glenshaw Valley, discerning your will for our life as a congregation as we seek to move forward in growth, in spirituality, in fellowship, in study, in worship, in all areas of our church life. Let this be your church and remind us that it always is, founded upon what you have done and coming down through the apostles and prophets. So Lord, we've looked through the scriptures and we see how important prayer is. So we take this time to lift up our prayers to you through the name of Jesus Christ and lay them at your feet, knowing that you hear us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and that you answer them according to your love and your might and your will for our lives. Help us to accept that life, yes, is tough. Life is not always easy. And help us to hang in there when it is difficult, to lean upon our friends and our family when we can, but to lean upon the Word of God and our church fellowship, to lean upon the strength of the Holy Spirit, to lean upon you in prayer and studying the scriptures and listening to Christian music, whatever it takes, but not never, to never turn away from you, but to draw closer to you. As we get up in the morning, as the day goes on, as we go to sleep at night, to have you first in our thoughts and our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for all the lessons that you taught us in giving us this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn, a hymn of preparation, Holy, Holy, on 266. Thank you. Let's bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ and what it means for the world, especially for those who accept his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. We thank you for that. Lord, we wish everyone would accept and find the peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you, when he ascended, he sent back the Holy Spirit and the gifts to endow the church with. We thank you for every gift that is used, not for our own glory, but for the glory of the kingdom of God, for the glory of your church, that we can spread the name of Jesus Christ. People can hear it and find out who he is and believe. Lord, help us this day. And I ask that you bless every person that gives every gift, not just of money, but time and all the talents that they have. Touch their lives in a very special and unique way. Let them feel your presence. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes to us from the book of the Psalms. The particular psalm is Psalm 130, and we will read indeed the entire psalm. Don't be worried, it's only 8 verses. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of my sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Friends, let me say that I am delighted to have this opportunity, this privilege of being with you once again. Here, turn it on.
I'll step back because you'll surely hear me here. Because I was reminded several times by my mother of how long it's been since I have been with the folks here at Glenshaw Valley. She said, she calls me Man-Man. I don't know why. You know, mothers continue to call their sons and daughters those nicknames from their youth. But she said, Man-Man. You'll have to talk to her about why she calls me Man-Man later on. She said, Man-Man, the folks keep on wearing me out about the fact that you have not been here at Glenshaw Valley for a while. And I keep on telling her, I said, you know, Mom, I'm sort of busy. You know, I work down in Atlanta, Georgia, at Columbia Theological Seminary, actually in Decatur, 6 miles outside of Atlanta. And I said, besides that, I've been serving as interim pastors at churches and been preaching everywhere from California to over into Africa. And she says, okay, yes, but you still need to get back to Glenshaw Valley. I said, and when she got really desperate for ways to try to get me back here, she decided it was time to go have knee surgery. So I did not have an excuse. And she said, oh, by the way, after church, you have to take me to see the Pirates. So that's why she has her shirt on, and that's why she has a piece of luggage with my change of clothes to go into right away. I'd like to thank the members of the session, and like to thank Leonard for this opportunity to share this word with you, and I am just so grateful to be with you once again. Let us come again to the Lord in prayer. Great God, we thank you for the wisdom of your word, and we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, it could be said that there are two types of people in the world. Those who are more apt to be mourning people, and those who are more apt to be nighttime folk. Now, if you count yourself among mourning people, raise your hand. If you consider yourself more of a nighttime person, raise your hand. It's always about 50-50. My wife is an evening person. She gets her energy throughout the day, and by nighttime, she's in full shine. Because she's there, and she always wants to tell me what she's watching on television beginning at 10 o'clock at night. I said, I don't care what's on television at 10 o'clock at night, because I am a morning person. I never see television at 10 o'clock at night. And the Olympic coverage has been horrible for me. I don't see any of the good stuff. Because it comes on when? At 10 o'clock at night. Now, if it came on at 5 o'clock in the morning, that would be something different. Because that's the time I wake up every day. Every day I'm up at 5 o'clock without an alarm clock. Oh my, someone groaned with pain. It's quite a challenge, because I tell you, there are a lot of good things that happen in the evening. Trying to see a baseball game in the evening, that's tough for me. I'm normally sleeping by the end of the game. I have to watch ESPN. Going to see a movie in the evening is tough for me. I normally fall asleep right after the opening credits. You get in a soft, comfortable chair, the lights go down, oh, I'm gone. I barely made it through the recent Batman movie, which was filmed here in Pittsburgh, parts of it. Trying to go to a party at nighttime, it's a very short proposition for me. Because I go there, and then I'm ready to say goodbye. Why? Because I've been up at 5 o'clock. In the morning. And session meetings and church meetings, forget about that. Maybe that's why I got to stay at the seminary for a little bit. Because session meetings, church meetings at nighttime, oh, wow. Why is it tough for me? Because I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But I tell you, friends, it is a joy to see the sunrise at 5 o'clock. I recently had a trip to Alaska. Now, that was a challenge. Why? Because in the summertime, the sun never really comes down. It sort of just teases you. You know, about 1 in the morning, it sort of starts getting like it's going to set. But then about 2 in the morning, it starts coming up again. So if you are used to going to sleep when the sun sets and getting up when it rises, you're in trouble in Alaska in the summertime. Likewise, you're in trouble in the wintertime in Alaska when the sun never really gets high into the sky. Wow. I bet you're wondering what I'm going to say about Scripture. Now I've talked about our physical schedules. You see, because the writer of Psalm 130 had something much more profound than perhaps the tendency of a person to be an evening or a morning type. You see, he was not even worried about addressing the plight of insomniacs who have difficulty getting to sleep. The psalmist employs the image of one who takes on the posture of watching for the morning simply because they had worked all night. Those individuals who are indeed required to stay up all night. Now, you know, my friends, nighttime presents us with its fair share of challenges. During the night, vision is hampered, and it should not come to you as a surprise that the crime rate goes up in the evening. Folks can't see what's happening out there in the shadows. Strange things happen at nighttime. You cannot see what's happening around you, nor can you be fully aware of what mischief folks have on their minds in night. If one were to go to ancient Palestine, I have been there, but I was not there in ancient times. But in Palestine, thieves were rampant as well. You see, we do not have the corner on the crime market as far as this time in history. Thieves have been there for quite a while. And in nighttime in ancient Palestine, people could not even see the other types of predators that would be there. The animals looking for a meal. So the importance of being vigilant was on the mind of the psalmist as the words were penned for our scripture lesson this morning. The allusion of Psalm 130 is that of a watchman who was required to stay awake all night. Now, I have great admiration for anyone who has the responsibility to be vigilant all night long, to indeed keep their eyes awake. Because I tell you, it is tough for me come 10 o'clock. I don't know how people have been ever able to work those shifts from 11 to 7. Is there anyone here who works those nighttime shifts? Wow. I tip my hat to you all who have worked those nighttime shifts. I know my mother tried to work the nighttime shift. It didn't work. She tried it. It didn't work. You know, people who work at in those supermarkets all night, you know, the 24-hour, Giant Eagles, the Walmarts, people who are indeed shift workers in the mills, people who are shift workers in the auto plants of my wife's home city of Detroit, people who are bakers, individuals who are firemen, people who are policemen, they are required to indeed be up all night. Folks who are indeed to man and to woman those stations where they answer the 911 calls. That would be tough to stay awake. Nurses in hospitals. Wow. I can remember the four times I have stayed up all night. Only four. So some of you who were required to do that on a daily basis, my hat goes off to you. The four times were one, my senior prom. I remember that senior prom. She was cute. We had a prom, then we had a post-prom, and then we had a party or picnic after the prom. I wasn't good at all. I remember twice when I was a youth group leader. And I was taking my young people bowling all night. Why would anybody take teenagers bowling all night? And I remember one time when I was in college, trying to cram out those papers, trying to get ready for finals. And I said, I'm going to drink a lot of coffee, take those no-dose pills. I was not able to sleep for 3 days. And you get the shakes after a while. You can't think straight. Wow. Staying awake night after night after night. The sheer tedium of it. Combine that with the pressure of knowing that your vigilance plays a key role in the success of an enterprise, the safety of others, and perhaps even your own life. It makes perfectly good sense as to why the biblical authors utilize this or other similar images time and time again. Take, for example, the words of our Lord as presented in Matthew 24. Keep awake, be watchful, therefore you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. But we are not given such advance notice. We also find Jesus' words in the Gospel of Mark. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts the servants in charge, each with their work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake. We find other examples throughout Scripture. The Apostle Paul, he says, keep alert. Watch ye, in the language of the old King James. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And finally, again from Paul, this time from Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the occasions, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Therefore, keep awake and be sober. You know, it's one thing being forced to be awake in your own land, in your own home. But can you imagine if you are thrown into another foreign climate, an environment into which you are more the stranger? Several years ago, I had the privilege of going to Africa, South Africa to be precise. Thus, I'm wearing this African garb on this day. I was leading a group of doctoral ministry students who were also, they were ordained ministers trying to get their doctoral degrees, and we were taking them on a contextual educational event to South Africa. South Africa, one of the most beautiful places on the face of the earth. You have places such as Cape Town, there on the farther, most southern point of that continent. You have Table Mountain. You have just Kruger National Park with all the lions and elephants and all the beautiful animals that you can see on safari. But you also have that legacy, that sad legacy of apartheid that was there. And not that long ago, because apartheid ended in the early 1990s. And the apartheid was the policy that forced racial segregation between people of European descent and people who were of African descent and people who were considered of Asian descent. They called them colored. So you have all these mixtures. It was forced segregation that was upon the people. It has not been enforced for, as I said, 20 plus years, but the sad legacy is there. One of the things that we did while we were there in South Africa was to go to some of the townships that had developed. Now, townships were the areas where the people who were black or colored, they were forced to live. Many of these were called, they were actually shanty towns. And you may think that this is like a ghetto, which we may have somewhere here in Pittsburgh. But these townships in parts of Cape Town, South Africa, one of the most beautiful cities on the face of the earth, had 1.5 million people living in them. And these shanty towns actually had, when I say shanties, they were actually built with cardboard, sometimes plywood if they were lucky. And they would have tin roofs. I thought it was interesting, in the midst of all these shanty towns, that you would have these discs on top of the shanty town so that they could actually get their television signals. One of the things which is the greatest challenge for the people of South Africa was that these shanty towns that just sort of sprung up, and then they grew, like I said, 1.5 million people. That's as many people as I think live in Allegheny County. And these shanty towns, they would not have any of the services, such as, at least not initially, such as electricity, such as plumbing, such as sewage removal. And we actually ventured into some of these areas in the evening hours, the nighttime hours, because we were there, 20 of us, to see how people can indeed be Christians in such settings, how they could worship. And so we visited a number of congregations that were of the Uniting Presbyterian Church. And that's purposely the title, the Uniting Presbyterian Church, is because they are trying to unite and to be connected as one. And so we were there. Most people, we were all Americans. And I was the only African American in a bunch. So folks were terrified in the midst of these townships. And I wasn't too crazy about it either. There at night, very limited light. And someone would indeed take us literally by the hand and guide us through these townships where you would hear noises about. You would hear bottles breaking. You would hear indeed kids crying. And they led us eventually into a makeshift church. And you know what happened there? We found that God's name was lifted up. That indeed people were able to have Bible studies that went on and on and on. People had gave testimonies about what God had done for them. And then they invited us to tell our stories. We were somewhat humbled, saying, I don't know if we can tell stories like you all have, because you have been living in such conditions that we could only imagine how difficult it could be. And then they invited us to supper. And I said, McDonald's ain't around here, is it? And of course it was not. So we were there in the townships of South Africa, amidst poverty about which we could only dream, there in the middle of night. We were waiting for the morning, trying to wonder how folks could be faithful in such environments. But they helped us to realize that it's not about merely the conditions in which one lives. It's about how they would indeed understand that God claimed them. And God would take them to a new understanding of what they could be. It's not about where they were at this time. They told us about how tough apartheid had been and how things are better now. Can you imagine living in township squalor and calling things better? But it was not about their physical condition. It's about what indeed spiritually God had prepared for them. Friends, we wait for the morning. We wait for what God is still doing in and through us. As I heard Leonard asking for prayer concerns, For a while there, I thought I was going to miss the baseball game this afternoon. Because the prayer concerns keep on coming and coming and coming, and they are so real. As we have these very real life situations that are facing us, surgery, family members with cancer, people who have difficult pregnancies, individual folks who are dealing with relationships that are new or that have been broken. We have financial challenges, job transitions. We have our financial portfolios that are not there anymore. We thought we could retire nicely. Yeah, fat chance of that happening. We have the death of a loved one. We have night upon us. We long for these moments to come to an end. We, in fact, hunger for the dawning of the new day. With that knowledge, we can identify with the words of the psalmist. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in the words of my God, I hope. If you have hope on this day, raise your hands. Do you have hope? Come on, Presbyterians. Do you have hope? Here, even in Glenshaw Valley. My soul waits for the Lord. more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. Those who watch will be rewarded. The dawning of that new day comes with the knowledge of the truth that we have all been forgiven, that we are all lifted to a new day. Forgiven and transformed, we are called upon to believe in the goodness of God and indeed to forgive one another. For the fullness of the glory of God, we wait. And this is not a passive waiting as if we were the spectators at a baseball game. But this is active waiting, like the waiting and watching of hoping that one has that the night will come to an end. Friends, at the end of even the longest nights, we have the glory of the resurrection. And that is why we are here. All praise, all glory be to God this day and every day. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
We have a hymn, the hymn of assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Hymn number 345. Let us stand and sing to the glory of God.
Done for us
And may the grace of our risen Lord Christ Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and every day. Amen.
Amen. I just want to remind you, June White and John will be slipping out quickly to go to the ball game. Don't want to hold them back too much. I'll be leaving on vacation, be back on August 28th, and God bless you, and we'll see you when I get back.